Unlock More to Life with Adrian Pinozzo, Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we broadcast interviews with successful real estate investors across North America to empower you on your journey to unlocking more to life with real estate investing. Now here's your host, Adrian Pinozzo.
Hey everyone, it's Adrian Pinozzo here with the More to Life Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we help you get more to life and start living your dreams with the power of real estate investing. So for today's episode, we have here with us one of North America's most influential coaches.
That's me.
That's right. I've been working with her for the past 2 years now. She's my personal business coach, and her guidance has been amazing, and not only amazing, but invaluable in helping me reach the success that I have today. This woman I'm about to introduce you to is behind the most successful real estate teams in North America, with over 800 business owners experiencing average profits of about $3 million and 50% annual growth rates, thanks to her coaching skills. She is a certified lady boss, coach, speaker, motivator, and has shared stages with people such as Grant Cardone, Ryan Serhant, Arlene Dickinson, and many more for that matter. These are exciting times indeed, and we are very, very honored to have the CEO of Red Apple Coaching and Consulting here with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you no other than Marianne Gillespie. Welcome to the show, Marianne.
Thank you so much. That was great. I mean, like an introduction like that, I might actually think you like me, Adrian. That's amazing.
Just a tiny bit.
Thanks for having me. You know what? I'm really excited to share. So I love doing podcasts for this exact reason. So let's lay it on me and see if we can give the listeners some really great tips and stuff and motivation.
Awesome. Yeah, so Marianne, obviously we've been working together for the past 2 years, and I can't comment enough on, you know, my journey with you and how we first started and some of the things that you've done for me in my career and helping me get to where I am today. So super, super grateful for that, but this is really more about you. So why don't we start off by telling us a little bit about your background, your journey, where you came from and where you are today and what brought you there?
Wow, that's like a super. So I'll start when I was 4 years old. No, I'm only kidding. You know what? Honestly, I think that the fastest way to sort of condense it is that I really came from nothing. So I'm one of those stories where, you know, I came from nothing. My family passed away when I was younger, so I really didn't have much direction, which also really, you know, kind of came to a superpower. You know, recently I was on a podcast the other day and I was thinking about this, and we were talking about how a lot of people have a lot of influences in their life. I had none from a very, I guess you could say, influential time in my life to now. So I've always sought out, you know, my own path, my own directions. And I think that was like a really big gift because I never really had any limits put on me. So I was always just able to just really look and find, you know, people that I really admire and am inspired by. And I kind of just seek that mentorship. But that's also what led me into coaching, is really being alone in my journey and knowing that so many other people are alone in their journey too. And that was one of the biggest benefits to me as an entrepreneur, but also to all of our clients, is I follow that journey and I go, you know what? It's really great to have somebody in your corner. So that's how I got into coaching, by building one of the best real estate businesses and rookie of the year and selling 80 houses my first year and all that kind of fun stuff. But then I really started just moving into the passion about developing a business that I can really take other businesses and take them to the next level by giving them what I know I needed most importantly. So it was really, it's been an incredible journey. I now fast forward, I mean, you know what? I've been published in Forbes magazine. I share the stages with some of the best people around. And, you know, it's been a journey that just doesn't, I'm an Ironman. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that I'm doing. And I don't know. It's like time is going backwards for me. And it's like, you know, every year it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's just awesome. So it's kind of where I am now. It's awesome.
Amazing. And for those of you watching and you know, whether you're watching live today or down the road, you'll see the energy this lady possesses is incredible. And part of the reason why she keeps me, you know, so motivated, because I feed off her energy every week on our calls. But I guess, obviously, you touched a little bit upon some personal stuff, that you lost your parents very young and whatnot. How did you go, you know, for lack of a better expression, how did you go from rags to riches, so to speak, in your journey from obviously losing your parents to where you are today?
That's such a great question. I think it has to, everybody always has two choices is how I look at things. And I was given a choice too. I mean, we all know the difference between right and wrong. I mean, if you've had any parental influences or even watch TV, you know, you don't even need parental influences, but everybody knows the difference between right and wrong. So I think you know that there's always a good path and there's always not such a good path. When I was, you know, couch surfing and homeless, I didn't have a house for at least a good year. And that was really something that was important, is that, you know, what to really know and go, I could go this way or I could go that way. And I knew one way was not good and I knew the other way was okay. And so all I did was I really worked hard, and my mindset was, you know, I have a choice. You always have a choice. That's the thing, is like, you can go one way, you can go another way. So I took the choice, and I think for me, it was just, you know, with no parental influence and no, you know, just kind of knowing that I had a choice. I was like, I could be anything. I could be anything. So that was kind of what went through my head, is like, you know, just that there's a voice inside of me that just kind of always just says, you can do anything you want. I mean, you just really can. So like, what do you want to do? And then figure it out, the plan of how you're going to do it, and then just execute it. And it's not about like doing it all at once. It's about like eating an elephant one bite at a time, one bite at a time. So I just knew that I wanted to get out of wherever I was, but I knew that the first step was really just getting financial security. When I was, you know, when my family had passed away and then I was homeless, I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have a bank account with money in it. I didn't even have a job. Like, I didn't know what the heck was going on. So like, when you're sitting there and you've got no credit rating, you can't rent an apartment. You can't rent. That's what happened. I mean, I couldn't rent an apartment. There was no background checks. There's nothing that could have been done. So it was kind of very difficult. So I knew that my next step was where I had to go. And I was like, okay, it's survival mode. I have to figure out, where am I going to shower? Okay, well, I had a gym membership. So that was a good start. And I was like, okay. And that was, you know, at the YMCA, whatever. So I went, and that's where I would have my showers and things like that. And I was like, perfect. So that's, you know, the health and wellness part of my life, to keep clean. And then, you know, where am I going to sleep and what am I going to do? And so then it's about, what do I need to save every month in order for me to have enough that I could go in and, you know, get a job and maybe buy, you know, 3 months of a lease, 4 months of a lease, what could I do? So it was always looking for solutions. And, you know, back then we didn't have all the internet or social media that we had now. So it was a little bit more challenging. But I think really what it came down to is just, you know, getting really excited too. In my head, I was excited to say, okay, all this tragedy happened, but you got to also look at it and you have to say, hey, what is the great thing about it? And the great thing about it is that I may not have had parental influence or, you know, parents like for as long as everybody else did in this great big world, but I had really great influence for the years that I had them. So it's a gift to look at that and say, you know, in under everything that you go through, you can see it as a victim or you can see it as a victor. And I've never been a victim. Shit happens. It happens all the time. And we're always going to have messy lives and there's never going to be anything perfect. But I think as long as you're looking at it that way and you're saying, okay, what's the opportunity here? What's the opportunity? And the opportunity I had, nobody was ever going to tell me what I can and can't do. Nobody. So where, how big, how high do I want to go is undetermined. It's all up to me and how much risk I'm willing to take with it. So I don't know. That's just kind of how the journey started. I didn't sit there and say, you know, woe is me. This is the worst thing that's happened. It was, you know, where do I want to see myself? What's the next step on how to get there? And then keep up with the steps each time. And then that led me to, I was, I think, 24, 25 when I was became a millionaire. So I was like 24, 25 years old, got my own properties, started, you know, I was rejected by Scotiabank. Nobody would give me financing, nothing like that. It was a lot harder back then. So I worked really hard to get out of where I was. And like I said, by 24, 25 years old, I was my first million, and the rest was history. Total.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
If you don't mind me asking, how old were you when you lost your parents?
I was just a teenager. I was just turning 17. So
from the time you lost your parents at the age of 17 to making your first $1 million.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years later, right? Like, absolutely incredible. And it goes to the, you know, my story of a lot of people we talk to, and you probably talked to a lot of people like in the same situation, but how we're trying to get people involved in real estate investing and whatnot. And there's one excuse after the other, typically, right? Well, always. I don't know. That's a lot of money, you know, so I'm going to leverage my house and start a line of credit. How about if I lose that? And there's like so many different, I call them excuses. But yet you look at somebody like yourself, lost both parents at the age of 17. By the time you're 23, 24 years old, sorry, 6 years later, yeah, you made a million, you made your first $1 million. Rewind, you had to go to the gym, the YMCA, to shower because you had zero.
Yeah. It was the girl at the front desk who gave me her couch, eventually noticed what was going on. And she lived in a tiny little bachelor apartment, and she gave me her couch, and she's like, here, she's like, I know something's going on. No questions asked. Just get in there. And but the thing is like, it's not excuses people are giving you. It's just they're afraid. That's all it is. It's like they're afraid. And I think that's one of the lessons that I don't share enough, is that like people are really afraid to do something. And it's like, that's what holds everybody back, is the difference between the really successful people and the ones who are, let's say, not where they want to be. Doesn't mean they're not successful. Just means maybe they're not where they want to be. The only thing is not excuses, it's fear. You know, fear holds them back from doing it. And, you know, I have nothing to lose, because when you lose everything, what else is there to lose? I always say that to people. Somebody says, oh, you're going to be upset if something like this happens. I'm like, not really. I'm like, have you ever buried a parent? And they're like, no. I'm like, no. Have you ever had to, you know, not have a house over your head? No. Well, then don't worry, because I've lost everything. And I'm like, so if you've lost everything, you understand that your biggest fear. I used to stay awake as a kid. I don't know if it was a premonition or what. I have no idea. But I used to be terrified as a child that my parents wouldn't be around. I would be terrified. I don't know if that's normal or not. It probably is at some level, but I'd have this fear that my parents would not be there one day. And it came true. So when your biggest fear comes true and you have to confront it, you know, it's kind of, you know, nothing else is going to be as bad or as scary as that. So it's kind of like one of those things where, sure, if you borrow money or you get a line of credit, and let's say things totally go left or the market crashes, okay, so what? So what's going to happen? You know, you're still going to have a roof over your head. You're still going to be alive, and there's still a way out of it. And like, you kind of have to confront the fear, but you also have to look at the flip side and say, is that the next logical step to financial freedom and where I really want to go? And the answer is typically yes. Right. Yeah. So you have to make that, confront the fear and understand fear is only there because you've never done something before. And so it's just there to protect you. And when you get over it, and then that's when you start to say, okay. And can things get messy? Of course they can. I've had bad investment deals. I've borrowed money, lent money, done this, done that. I've seen terrible. I bought a terrible investment once, and, you know, and lost money on it. And I'm still living, and I'm still where I am. So it hurts, but it doesn't scare me. So don't let fear hold you back, is basically my point.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to comment on that. What would you say to the people that let fear hold them back, or have that mindset, you know, I'm scared. How do you get over that fear? How did you, as a professional, get over the fears that you had when you were growing your business and your real estate empire and whatnot?
It was actually Grant Cardone, who, I don't love him or anything like that. I think he's like, whatever. He's just another person on stage. I think like one of the things he had said, which I thought was, you know, I hear it all the time, but when he said it, it was the final reinforcement I've heard from everybody, is I'm obsessed with asking really successful people, you know, the one lesson that they learned. And it was like, everybody keeps saying the same lesson. And then it all kind of hit me, is that it was like, everybody says the same thing. They're like, don't ever, excuse my language, but don't ever give a shit what other people think of you. If you do, the minute you start thinking and caring what other people think of what you're doing, is the minute you allow that fear to start playing in your head. And you kind of have to just go, okay, you know what? There's responsibility, but there's also really not caring what people are really going to say and what they're going to do. And I let that go a while ago. And, you know, I've always known that I'm different. And I always knew, and I had to listen to that voice in my head say what to do and what not to do. And I just trust it. I don't care. And I have nothing holds me back. And I think that that's one of the things that always, like, fear only exists to protect you against the unknown. So it gives you everything, every reason not to do something it'll give you. And if you just let go of it and you just make that decision, you say, you know what? I don't really care. I don't care what fear is. I don't care what people are thinking. But I think one of the biggest books that was given to me, and you can Google it and you don't even have to read the book, it's called The Five Regrets of the Dying. And it's a book written by a palliative care nurse. And she talks about how everybody that she worked with, they all had the same five things before they died that they regretted. And you go Google it. You don't need to read it. Just Google The Five Regrets of the Dying. You'll see what they are. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But it's always the same. And I think because I've experienced a lot of death in my family and my friends and stuff like that at young ages, that I've really realized that I don't know what we're waiting for. First of all, nobody cares what you do. Nobody does. Like, you know, one day you're here, next year not. And like, people will still move on with their lives. They'll remember you. But the truth is like at the end of the day, nobody cares. So just do it anyway. Like, and you're going to regret it when it's too late and you're sitting back and you're wondering on your deathbed if you did everything you could out of this life. You know, John Travolta, great example. He just did a great interview. I don't love the guy either, but at the end of the day, he lost his son tragically. And then he lost his wife just a couple of years ago, all very young. And what he realized is he says, I'm 60 years old now. And he goes, now I'm not even close to it, but others can relate. But anyway, he goes, he's 60 years old now. And he goes, his kid asked him and said, how many more years do you think you're going to live? And he says, oh my God. He goes, I realized I'm in the last phase of my life. And he's like, there's so much I want to do. He's like, this is crazy. Don't wait to get to that point. Like, do it now. Like, what are you waiting for? There's, you know, that's what I just fear so much about waiting that's, you know, that I just want people to just do things. And I think if you really, really read a book like that, then you connect to it and you realize that everything that's in you is in you because you're supposed to be doing it. So live full on and take risk and, you know, give it a shot. As long as you're not hurting anybody in the process, then you know what? It's, you get one chance. Don't wait till it's too late.
What's the book called again? Five
Regrets of the Dying. And you can just Google it, Five Regrets of the Dying, and it'll give you a PDF version. So you don't even have to read the whole thing, which is like super. I wish somebody would have told me that.
Amazing advice. I'll definitely look that up for sure. Girl Abundance.
Yeah.
I hear you're working on something big this year, obviously. Tell us more about this new project, Girl Abundance.
I think like with Girl Abundance, so we have Red Apple Coaching, which does the business coaching. Then we have Game Changer, which is now building, you know, a very hybrid coaching style program with groups. Moving into Girl Abundance is our passion project that we're starting, you know, hopefully launching everything at this September. We had just decided, you know, based on where I came from, I'm not a feminist by that counts. I think when people say they're not a feminist, maybe they are. But what I'm trying to create is, I'm trying to create a beautiful company where we can all be mentors, but it's a company where we're going to all invest in other companies. And we are gathering all women from everywhere, young women, middle women, women who don't have the support, the financial means, or the creative team around them to hire or pay for coaching and get them where they need to get to. Our goal is we're going to help so we've got some of the best leaders, including myself, and we have a CEO financial planner. We have myself, which is a business planner, business coach. We have a health and wellness planner. Like, we have some of the top CEOs from all different areas, and we've all decided to come together. They're all going to support me in my new company. And our number one goal is to create a mentorship program where we're going to help build 100 businesses a year that are female owned and operated, and then keep expanding it to build one of the best mentorship companies in the world. I can't believe it. Like, it's crazy.
Wow. 100, you said 100 businesses?
Yeah, we're going to aim to do 100 businesses and we're going to invest in them. We're going to help build them and we're going to grow them. And then they're going to become mentors of ours. But yeah, we're going to all pull our resources together. And that's our goal, is to build 100 female owned and operated businesses per year. And it's going to be awesome. Wow. And we're all super passionate, because the one thing that we noticed as business women, you know, very, very ambitious women in business, ambitious people in general, the path is very lonely. you know, it's you're very much on your, you're very misunderstood. You work too much. You do this, do that, you know, and we always look and we say, you know, what's the one thing that's lacking is that the inner circle, you know, the inner circle and the help and the development isn't always there. It's something different between men and women in business, which we don't talk about enough, but it's true, is that the women in business are men in business. They can play together. They seem to have this really good cohesiveness where they can be at each other's throats, but they both want each other to succeed. There's such a small playing field for women, and it's been such a lonely path for women that we find that the crossover is not there yet. Like the amount of support for businesswomen and young businesswomen and, you know, in general, it's just not there for them. And we, you know, they cut each other down instead of building them up. So we tried to figure out a way. And I put my head together for years trying to think, how do we change this? I mean, if Sheryl Sandberg can't change it and she's like one of the biggest businesswomen there is, how can we change it? And I said, you know what? I think this is how we change it, is we just start realizing that we can accomplish a lot more with a company that builds people up as opposed to ripping them apart. So I'm very excited about it. Very excited about it.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. That was my next question. What's the goal for your clients in Grow Abundance? And obviously, I think you touched on that, right?
Yeah, we're going to build 100 small businesses into businesses in general. And the idea and the goal really is to just, you know, to give what I still don't see exists in the industry. I don't see that there's any place for us to all go. And there's so many of us CEOs like myself that I know that have all said the same thing. Like if I pick up a phone and I say to one of my top female CEOs at a different company or different whatever, I say, hey, listen, can you do me a favor? Like my friend who's a CFO, massive CFO. And if I say to her, hey, listen, I got this, you know, girl who's really struggling. She doesn't understand this. She's like, tell her to call me. I'm like, the amount of help that we're willing to give is insane. But you know what? People either don't ask us for the help because they're like, oh, we're too busy, or it's never these young women. They're so intimidated to ask us and they just sit in their little corners and they don't do anything about what their dreams are. So we want to be the facilitators of their dreams and we've got the time to do it. So I really am super excited.
Yeah. Amazing. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing you taught me, Marianne, when we started working together a couple of years back was goal setting and thinking big. And I can't stress enough, the influence you had on me and my business with mindset has been amazing again. So talk to us about mindset and abundance and how you really preach that in your business and to your clients and whatnot.
I love it. Mindset is a belief, right? Like, you know, you have two mindsets. I'm actually ironically speaking about something similar. You have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. You know, there's many other types of mindsets you can have, but you're either an abundance thinker, which is growth, or you're fixed. And the thing is like people get stuck on this a lot, but think about it this way. If a mindset is just it's a belief system, that's all it is. So something had to happen for you to have that type of mindset. And the truth is you can be intellectually, you can have this big mindset, but personally, you can have this like fixed mindset. And fixed mindset just means that you don't believe anything is possible. A growth mindset means you are like literally thinking anything can be possible, anything can be done. But here's the reality is that a mindset is just a belief system. So if it's just a belief system, that means that you can change it. It can be changed. So it doesn't matter what's going on with your mind. You just have to always keep programming it to think bigger. You have to see bigger opportunities. You have to think that anything is possible. And that comes with programming yourself every single day, is to have big goals, to have a bunch of people like coaching, supporting you, to have an inner circle, share your goals. But you have to remember the path is difficult for a big mindset. So be prepared for the punches. Just be prepared to jump back up because that's what will get you to the next level. But having a growth mindset is what I would really focus in on. And that comes from every day setting goals, hitting goals, thinking what is possible, giving yourself a chance to daydream, but also not putting a negative spin on things. Being like, if you want to do, you know, $100 million worth of sales, well, you can do it. Who's stopping you? Nobody. So it's your mindset and you have to really listen what's coming in, what's coming out, but you have to program it because if all it is a belief system, keep programming it to think big. I mean, in everything I do, I have on the front of my car, my license plate is Think Bigger. Or sorry, Dream Bigger. It's Dream Bigger. And so it's just Dream Bigger. I shouldn't say Think Bigger. It's Dream Bigger. And the amount of little kids who go to the front of my car and they lean on it and they take a picture with the license plate, it gives me a lot of hope. But I'm also like, in my programming, every single day when I walk to my car, I'm looking at that license plate and I'm going, yes. Like, am I dreaming bigger? It's helped me massively accountable. And it's like, it does great things. I love it.
I can resonate with that because everybody knows, obviously, when I left the police department 4 years ago now, our company had just over, and that's when I started working with you full time. My company had just over 100 units that we owned in joint venture partnerships and whatnot. And in 3 years since I've left the police department, we, again, your help and coaching me in the mindset and dream bigger, think bigger, bigger abundance, blah, blah, blah. We've taken it from just over 100 units. We are just shy of 300 units.
That's crazy, eh?
And if you would have asked me 3 years ago, you know, or when I was about to leave the police department, you know, driving a police car and doing all the police stuff, do you think you're going to own just shy of 300 doors, you know, in 2021? I would have, back then, I didn't have that mindset because when I first left policing, we had not started working together, obviously.
Yep.
But since we did, and your coaching and your accountability to me and continual pushing and thinking bigger, dreaming bigger, we're just shy of 300 units. I never in a million years would have thought of it or dreamt it, but.
But there's so many things that happen. And like, that's the crazy thing, right? Is it's like, I think the best advice I can give people is that when it comes to, you know, some of my background is neurosciences. And one of the things I always coach on is to say, if it's in your head, you know, understand that it's in there because like, you're not crazy. I keep telling this to people. I wish they'd understand it because it's really simple. But it's like, if there's something in your head that tells you that you could do something, it's there because everything that you've done up until that point will get you there. Like it's possible. Right. And I think that's what really frustrates me is that it's like, it's in you. Like nobody's putting fake things in your head. You're not crazy. But if something in your head says, okay, you're at 300 now, if there's something in your head that says I could be at 1,000, understand that's only coming into your head because it's telling you, your brain is actually saying, hey, by the way, Adrian, here's what we could possibly do, you know, based on everything that I've known about you up until, you know, this point in my life, your life, it's saying, you know what, this is what you can do. The problem is we ignore that. You know, or we don't seek out the way to get there. We're like, oh, that was a crazy idea. But it was there. And if you can't dismiss it, and so many people have these brilliant ideas or these desires to do something and then they hold back on it. It's like, sure, I didn't know when I got Girl Abundance and I registered the name, that was 5 years ago, maybe longer, actually. I think I registered Girl Abundance. I said, I think it was actually 10 years ago. Yeah, it was. Yeah, my assistant was texting me this morning. It was about 10 years ago that I ended up registering Girl Abundance as a name. And I remember just going, yeah. And I was like, I knew that eventually, like, I didn't know where it came from. I don't know where the name came from. I don't know what happened. I remember the moment that I registered it, somebody right away came after me and said, I want that name. And I was like, because I had posted something saying, hey, I just registered. They're like, I want that name. And I'm like, no, you can't have it. And they've been trying to get it for 10 years. But I was sitting there and I was going, I didn't know where it was going to take me, but I listened to the voice inside my head that said, register this name. You're going to need it at some point. And I was like, who knew? And I was like, all right, whatever. So I did. And then like everything, you gotta really stay connected to that voice in your head because it's there. It exists and we ignore it. And if there's something in you that says that you want to own 200 doors, great. What are you waiting for? It's there. It's telling you you can do it. Is it going to be scary? Of course. You can't negate the reality of what actually happens, but you got to like jump in and just say things don't pop in your brain because they don't like, you know, you listen to that voice that says, hey, propose to your wife. You know, like it was there because it was like, hey, after all the years together, this is a great fit for you. You're going to have a great life and have a great family. Perfect. Is it going to be perfect the whole time? Hell no. But there was a voice inside your head that told you it was the next step. When you went to have kids, voice in your head that told you guys you should have children. You know, everything. When you buy that cottage, when you went, you know, left the police force, there was something in you that said, I'm done, I'm finished. And you listen to it, you make the step. Too many people don't listen to that voice in their head and they think there's something weird going on. And it's like, no, the voice in your head only exists to tell you what is next and what is possible. You can choose to ignore it, but it's not going to serve you any purpose. Don't ignore it.
What is next and what is possible?
Always what's possible. It's like, it can't, you are not a psychopath. Like there's a reason, like, or at least I hope you're not. I don't like blood. I hate blood. So it's kind of like when I hurt myself and I have blood and all that stuff, I like freak out, but I don't want to, you know, so I'll never be a doctor. There's nothing that's ever popped in my head that said, oh, you really should get into the medical profession. I have no desire, especially the last 2 years, I've had no desire, but I mean, there's nothing in me that says go into the medical profession. However, there is something in me that says I would be an amazing litigation lawyer. Like hands down, I have gone to court 3 times, you know, on really hardcore cases, and I've won each one. And there's something in the back of my head that says, if you ever wanted to pursue it, you'd be amazing at it. So I know that to be true. I just choose at that point, that's not where I want to go. But I knew that that's a possibility. So you have to just know what's coming through your head and kind of listen to that and just go, you know what, as long as the thoughts are good, they're not crazy thoughts, you know, then you need some help. But as long as they're good, right? And it's like, if something's telling you, go with it, go with it. It's there.
Let me ask you something. So they say content, being content is the key to happiness, right? Being content. But on the flip side, people like you and I, because we do have some similarities with our personalities, people say being content is the key to happiness. But people like you and I say having a life of abundance is the key to happiness. So there's such a gray area there between just being content and abundance thinking and doing. How do you reconcile the two, thinking big and being content with life?
So I think, you know, I've really struggled with that one. That is like probably my favorite question I think I've ever been asked on a podcast. I think if I was going to be very transparent about it, I think the number one thing you have to remember is, do you have an unrealistic expectation of happiness? And happiness is ultimately what it's all about. So whether, you know, and I think that a lot of entrepreneurs have that unrealistic expectation of happiness. So they don't have a lot of happiness happening. So what I try to do is I try to go, I'm never going to be content where I am. I'm just never going to be, you know, it's just, I'm never going to be that person that's going to sit back and go, I want to stop growing. I want to stop doing, I want to literally, I don't want to leave this world not knowing that I did everything I wanted to do. I don't care. Like I do crazy shit all the time. I want to jump out of an airplane. I'm terrified of heights. I jumped out of an airplane at 15,000 feet. I'll never do that shit again. That was stupid, right? But anyway, but I want to spearfish. I don't know if I like it. So I went, I started learning how to spearfish. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. There's a win. Like everything that I do, you know, I want more properties. I'm going to go get them. I want this. I want a place in Trombla. I'm going to buy one this week. Like there's always like, it's unrealistic expectations of happiness is what you have to look for. So content, I don't think I'll ever be content. Am I happy? I'm truly happy. Like that's the difference is that what makes me happy is having a really great successful business and growing it. What makes me happy is being able to have financial wealth to the point where I can make my own decisions and know that I'm taking care of for myself, but also have the freedom to say, yeah, I work harder than most people do because I'm a very big driver and like that's what I like to do. And my friends and my, you know, my journey sometimes is alone because a lot of my friends don't have my lifestyle. So it's very difficult to forge down there. But am I happy? And that's the truth is, yeah, I'm happy. Why? Because my journey is like as an ambitious person, you can never take away our ambition. So I think ambition and contentness go hand in hand. If you're ultra ambitious, I don't think you're ever going to be content with where you are, but are you ever going to be happy? You have to be. And a lot of people miss, they carry over and they don't go with the seeing what expectations of happiness are. And for me, happiness is writing a check for whatever I want, whenever I want. It's taking vacations. It's traveling the world. It's learning new crazy things. It's like buying a car that you've always wanted to buy. It's about being able to write a check and help anybody you want to help. I wrote a check to help somebody, you know, that I didn't need to, but I can write any check I want to help whoever I want now. And that's just, that makes me happy. So I'm not going to be content. I always want to be pushing the envelope, because I'm telling you, like, you know what? When it's done, it's done. I watched my mother, you know, it was on her, this is a true story. She was a kindergarten teacher with the Catholic school board. And she had died of an aneurysm. And she was a Polish immigrant. She worked hard her whole life. And she was sitting there, and they messed up on her pay. When we moved, they messed up on her pay for like something like 15 years or something. Anyway, long story short, they called her in on a PD day. Okay. So we're talking over breakfast in the morning, having a coffee. We were just at that point in our life where we were like, you know what, here's where we are. We're at that point where we can become friends. And, it's a mother daughter thing. And then all of a sudden she went to school that day. And she sat it, and the principal called her into the office and said, "Hey, I got some news for you." Gave her an envelope and said, "They've made a mistake on your pay for the past X amount of years." She had thought that it was a pay decrease, because that's typically what you would expect. I mean, you would never expect the opposite. And it was a check for almost $200,000 of back pay that they discovered. And this is a woman who worked harder her whole life. And you know what? It was such a level of excitement. And if you know anything about aneurysms, extreme excitement can trigger your brain to fire an aneurysm. And it did. And that's what killed her. So you know what? Yeah. You worked your whole life to get to that point, to get something that woman had always wanted and worked hard for. And it ended up being, you know, ultimately the reason that killed her. And so, you know, it would have happened at some point, you know, but at that point it was like, you know, you realize is like, I never want to work my whole life to end up in the final stages of my life to just finally reap the rewards to it. So you have to be happy in the present moment in order to, and that beautiful combination of being ultimately super happy with all of your things that you're doing, with you, your family, the things that you want and desire in this life, and still be able to think abundance is, and never be content where you are. I think that's the most powerful, beautiful ambition that you can bring to the table. That's living, in my opinion.
Wow. Wow. Ton of stuff there. I didn't know that. You never shared that
with
your mom before.
That's how she had passed away. And I think that, you know, the best lesson to learn for people is that you can work, you know, that whole corporate lifestyle is great for some people, but you know, are you really happy? Are you seriously really happy? Because I don't think she was really happy. I think she loved what she did, but she wasn't really happy because she was working to live. And I'm not working to live. I'm loving. I'm happy. I'm super happy. It's always about growth and what's next and what difference can I leave in this world.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Very inspirational and motivating, to be quite honest with you, for sure.
I try.
We're getting towards the end here. Number one lesson you've learned in your life. Number one lesson.
That was such a hard question. I mean, the number one lesson.
Maybe there's two, but.
Yeah. I would say you know, if I was really going to say the number one lesson learned in my life, number one lesson I learned in my life is don't hold back. Don't ever hold back. Don't hold back because, like, you know, in anything, when, you know, when I was out of shape and I made the choice to become an Ironman, and I held, you know, nobody believed me. And it was like, you know, and I kept listening to like some other people. And I was like, no, don't hold back. If you know you want something, don't care who comes along for the journey and who doesn't should not impact you. Just go all in. Just don't quit on your goals. Like, whatever they are, just go all in. There's always people to help you with it. And I would say that that's probably the number one lesson. Had I listened to everybody, like I said earlier, I'm very different. I vibe a very high energy, and I push my clients very hard. And, you know, not to the point where any of them have been sick or anything like that, but I really do believe like at pulling what's inside and pulling it out. So I have to be honest with you. Don't hold back. Don't ever hold back. You'll regret it, because nobody should hold back. If you got it, go for it. And if you don't succeed at it, who cares? Next, keep going.
Amazing. All right. For the end of the podcast, we usually do what you've obviously and heard of before, our lightning round. And we have three quick bam, bam, bam kind of questions.
Good.
What is your why? Why do you do what you do? And you might have touched on that earlier with some of the answers, but what's your why?
you know what? I don't believe in a why. So I don't believe in a why. I don't believe in that book that Simon Sinek wrote, you know, start with the why. Don't believe in it. If you do, you're going to end up getting therapy for years. That's my thought. So I would say everything I do, or every entrepreneur, in my opinion, you do it for freedom. You do it for freedom. And freedom is whatever it defines for you in the present year. This year's freedom is different than last year's freedom and will be different than next year's freedom. So everything I do is for freedom. And, you know, freedom is very important. Freedom to walk away when I don't want to do something anymore. Freedom to stick around and do what I do because I love what I do. I don't have to work, but I do because I love it. So it's all for freedom. Everything I do is for freedom.
Amazing. Yeah. I think I'm kind of the same. Obviously, I had a pretty good career. I mean, I wasn't going to get rich or anything like that working for the police department, but I had a pretty good career. And I stepped outside, and we talk about it all the time, stepping outside of your comfort zone and growing when you step outside of that area. But I stepped outside, and the freedom I have now that I, like you say, go for it. You know, I left a secure job, the 9-to-5, the pension, the benefits, the salary. I stepped outside of that, and the freedom I have now compared to the freedom I had then, double the amount, triple the amount. And I'm happier now than I was then because I have that freedom. So I can completely resonate with that.
Good.
You're very successful now. And we say that relative to how the world views success, but do you think there is still more to life for you when you picture more to life? Is there more to life for Marianne, even as successful as you are today? Is there still more?
Yeah, I was saying it actually the other day. I was saying it to my husband. I said, I don't know, man. It's like something weird's going on. I feel like every year I'm going backwards 3 years in the energy and passion I have for life. So this is just the beginning. That's it. Just the beginning, man. Just the surface.
Wow.
Big stuff is ahead in 2022, but just the beginning.
Awesome. Very last question. If you could give one piece of advice to everybody listening and watching this interview, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Get really excited about failing. If you fail, you are totally learning. And failure is only achieved when you get out of your comfort zone and try something totally that you've never tried before. So get comfortable with failing. See how passionate you can be about it and be like, keep doing stuff and say, I'm probably going to totally fail at this. I'm going to do it anyway. And then learn from it. My best lessons have come because of the best failures that I've experienced. And they have really made me proud of myself for getting there.
I have never, in all the people I've met since I've been in this career and left, and all the entrepreneurs I've networked with over the last 4 years, and obviously you being one of them, I have never, ever heard that before.
Yep.
Be excited for failure.
Always. Everything I do, I'm like, you're going to do an Ironman and you got to lose 100+ pounds and do an Ironman in the next year and a half to 2 years. Wow. That sounds like a major failure. Sign me up. Let's do it.
Anything
that sounds like I'm going to fail miserably at, I get very excited over, because that means I have to become a different person if that's ever going to happen. And that's what's exciting.
Bye. Absolutely amazing. And you know what? It's so true. It's so true. It's so true. Anyways, Marianne, super thankful for obviously sharing your insight, your journey, your accomplishments, your advice. Absolutely amazing. People out there that are entrepreneurs or whatever you're doing out there, how do people get a hold of Marianne if they want to get into business with you?
Amazing. You can find me on social media everywhere. Easiest place is to just ping me up on Instagram under Red Apple Coaching, or you can do my personal profiles under Marianne Gillespie. Hard to miss me. Name's right there. Boom. So feel free to just look me up everywhere. You cannot not find me on social media. So it's impossible. So just look me up and I'm happy to help out. If anybody ever needs anything, just reach out, jump on our pages and you'll find me there. I'm very interactive, so it's good.
Yeah, obviously. All right. Well, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Absolutely amazing. Couldn't thank you more. Amazing.
Adrian, it's always a pleasure, but you better get your goals done this week because I'm in a bad mood. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, sure. Hit your goals. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. I love being here as a guest. I've got to go jump on more calls now.
All right. See ya. Right. Thanks again.
See you guys later.